Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David. Hey, Bo. Happy St. Patty's Day, man.
Man, happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Now, of course, the people on the live show with the camera can see that I am well prepared. The audio can hear my St. Patrick's Day beads.
And it doesn't appear that I'm wearing anything green, although my hat is kind of a shade of green. When I wear this hat, I get regularly that I look like Gallagher.
Yeah, I can see it.
Which I'm okay with.
A little bit.
I just need a mallet and a watermelon.
Yeah, but don't we all? But you wanna stand up, give him a little twirl?
I tell you what, let's take a photo and we'll post it on our Facebook page.
Yeah, I wanna do that.
Yeah. I'm wearing a kilt right now.
A bright green kilt
with a leather sporran. And you'll have to go to our Facebook page. Here, that's our incentive.
That's good.
Go to our Facebook page and you can see me in my kilt and my legs.
Man.
Ow! Which is terrifying.
A little bit. No, man, this is good. You know, this you always like to sport the kilt this time of year.
Yeah.
And of course, we are trying our best on my side of the aisle here to get into the spirit as best we can. Of course, we are just like days away from the second child being born.
That's right. You know, every day I kind of anticipate getting a message from you and being like, we're on the way to the hospital. We're pulling that episode from the can this week to to fill the void. But, man, yeah, any day now.
Yeah, this is true.
Little York, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited about it. We can't wait. Actually, I've got a very important interview for another show scheduled for next Tuesday, so I'm positive that that's when my daughter's going to be born.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I'm positive.
That very morning. Yeah, absolutely.
Just the way it goes.
Well, but, you know, just real quickly, in Jackson, Mississippi, where Bo and I are located, it's a sleepy southern town, not a lot going on here typically. When people ask you what is there to do in Jackson, we typically start naming restaurants. There's all these places to eat.
Oh, there's great places to eat.
And so that's what we do well is we cook and eat. But we do one thing really well, and that is St. Patty's Day. And
yes.
For some reason, I guess just because it's boring around here sometimes and there's not a lot going on in the spring, we blow it out for St. Patty's Day.
You got to own a holiday, right?
Well,
I mean, like every town has to have something that they do up. I mean,
something that they just jam out to.
Too close to New Orleans to do Mardi Gras because they've kind of claimed that.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
I mean, I think that, you know, Thanksgiving being in Mississippi, that would be almost stereotypical if we kind of blew that out.
Right.
So you know what?
Let's celebrate eating and watching football.
Right. Well, you know, we do that every day. So there's no difference in that. But yeah, so I think that St. Patrick's Day, you know, for a day, everybody in the city, we just, you know, we all become Irish.
Well, and for some reason, you know, even, you know, folks that aren't of Irish heritage, you know, just kind of acclaim it. And it's one of those things where, you know, for whatever reason, Jackson, Mississippi has one of the largest St. Patty's Day parades in America.
I think we're...
Can you believe that? Our city has less than 200,000 people in it, but people come from all over to flock to the streets of downtown Jackson.
Oh, it's massive.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's not like New York or Chicago or something, but...
But I think we're like third or something like
that.
It's
a legit St. Patty's Day parade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're ever looking for an excuse to come on down to Jackson, Mississippi,
you
should spend St. Patrick's Day here.
Absolutely.
New Orleans actually does have a pretty nice St. Patrick's Day parade, but ours is kind of bigger and better than theirs.
Yeah.
And I've seen both, so
I can
speak to that. But no, man, this is a rough St. Patrick's Day for me in general. You know, I'll share with the listeners a little something that's been going on. Of course, I've been...
Yeah.
My doctor has encouraged me to lose weight. I went to the doctor's office, and they're like... I haven't been to the doctor's office in a long time.
Yeah.
You may remember remember a couple of weeks ago, I was having some issues with a cough.
Yeah.
They said, you know what, forget about the cough. You need to lose weight immediately. And so I've been doing really, really good.
Tell us your progress.
Man, I'm tracking to have lost 20 pounds by the end of this week.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about
that. Dude, that's a big deal.
That's in like five weeks or so.
Well, I mean, 20 pounds, that's a huge deal.
Sometimes, yeah.
You know, some folks, it takes, you know, for various reasons, a really long time to lose 20 pounds.
Well,
so,
man, I've been hardcore in it, like, big time, man.
Yeah.
Like, I've got a very, like, specific diet. It's not going to be forever. It's just to kind of get myself set back to where I need to be.
Yeah, kind of recalibrated.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I've been working hard on it, but it's been tough. I mean, like, we were at a party just the other night, and you know it was a
you
fun
lamented
time.
many of the fat many you know many things that you could not eat there.
Well, you know, and I just realized I was like, I'm not fun to anybody because like new foods coming in like pizza and hot wings, and I'm just sitting there and I'm like, you know what, I just need to leave because I can't do this right now. I'm not entertaining. I'm not fun to anybody, but I stuck it out as well. But once those like two crates of hot wings and the pizza stacked up, I was like, no, I couldn't do it.
Tell us, do you drink beer?
I can't drink beer right now.
Is there any alcoholic libation that is on the approved list?
I can either have a glass of wine or a cocktail one a night. And
okay.
It's
that's
specific
fair.
Cocktails. I got to watch the sodium.
Some of them are loaded up with sugar. Yeah. So you have to watch out.
But yeah, so it's...
I'm proud of you, dude.
Man, this
well
is
done.
This is the cool thing that's come out of all this is, of course, you know, it's kind of, you know, we're in the Lent season.
Yeah.
And so I kind of forewent what I was giving up for Lent to go with this because...
fair enough.
You know, I'm giving up so much.
You're going to...
But this is the funny thing. My wife has actually created this banana bread. Like,
oh,
she,
wow.
She has gone, like, you know, she's hardcore in support of all this good stuff, you know, getting her husband in better shape. She's all
right.
About that.
Right.
But she has created this, like, banana bread that is, like, purely healthy and so very filling.
Yeah.
Like, you eat a slice of this banana bread, and that's your meal. And, like, I can have that for breakfast, and I am legitimately full. Like, it's the only time that I'm full during this entire process.
Does it have bacon in it?
It does not have bacon, obviously.
Does it have pipe tobacco in it?
No, but it's got, like, it's got pecans and everything. And, man, I've got to tell you, it is Limbus bread.
That's, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And if you recall from Lord of the Rings, they eat the Limbus bread. The idea is that, like, one piece can fill you
like
up for the day.
Like, one wafer, and that's, like, their journey from, you know... between mountains and stuff.
Yeah, dude, my wife has cracked the code. So that is what Tolkien was talking about is
okay.
This banana bread
okay.
That my wife has discovered.
That's cool, man. Well, hey, congrats. I'm glad you're good. Good stuff that you're trucking along with, man.
Yeah,
I'm proud
absolutely.
Of you.
And,
really good.
And last but not least, in kind of news, and this is kind of broader news in the pipe community.
Yeah.
I posted this out on Facebook, but have you heard about the whole Disney thing?
Yeah, I discussed that with a few people before, but kind of update our listeners on
that. Yeah, so all right. So Disney, who you may recall, acquired Marvel and Star Wars, basically my entire world, over the last couple of years. And they've done really great things with the franchises. However, they have kind of announced in the last couple of days and in the last week or so
right.
That they are extending the smoking ban to their on-screen characters to both Marvel and to Star Wars.
Does that mean no hookah in Star Wars?
You know,
if they have like Jabba the Hutt?
That's the thing, right? I mean, there's that the hookah is really the only thing that you could think about of Star Wars, although it kind of was a bit of a gut blow to me because to me, Yoda was always a pipe smoker. We just never saw it.
Yeah.
And if they ever did tell or if they ever do tell that Yoda origin story, like I was expecting there to be some form of pipe smoking in it.
Yeah.
With a lot of kind of Gandalf inspiration pulled to that character.
Yeah.
And so that in particular really bums me out. Of course, there's a lot of Marvel characters who are smokers. I've never been more happy about the fact that Wolverine is not with Marvel because he's a big cigar smoker.
Right.
But it's frustrating to me. So what I'd like to do, and I'm kind of asking you on air.
Yeah.
At some point in the near future.
This always works out great, by the way, when Bo surprised me with something on air.
It's the only time I can. But no, I would like to consider doing an episode about Disney.
Yeah.
And the history of smoking in Disney. Because while they want to, you know, they are making this decision to kind of extend this this smoking ban to these characters. Disney is also, in their history, they've had a ton of smoking characters, a lot of which we've talked about in our Heroes
Man,
of the Ball.
A whole bunch of them, yeah.
But what I'd really like to do is kind of talk about what the history of Disney and tobacco is.
Yeah.
That's one thing that I'd like at some point to talk about.
Yeah.
The other topic that I'd like to kind of propose, and I'm proposing it to you, I'm also kind of proposing it to the audience, is the stigma associated with smoking,
mm-hmm.
and kind of the differentiation between, you know, pipes, cigars, and cigarettes.
Yeah.
Because I feel what ends up happening a lot in kind of the broader culture.
Oh, I see where you're going with this, and you're singing my hymn.
Well, we all get kind of lumped together.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's different schools of thought on this. I actually got in a debate when I was in Grand Rapids.
Yeah, yeah.
With a friend and brother up there, and we were talking about it, and he was like, look, we've all got to stick together. And I was like, actually, I don't think we do. I think that... You know, there's kind of this mindset, well, they came for the cigarettes, and I didn't say anything, and then they came for the... And I was like, no. They came for the cigarettes. They took all of us. That's what happened.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate that the pipes and cigars have gotten, you know, and it kind of lumped in with the other. And again, we can discuss this at another time.
So you think
time,
that's a pretty good episode?
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely, yeah.
So that's kind of with that broad kind of pitch.
Yeah.
Think about those things. We'd love to hear your thoughts. I know there's going to be some differences
absolutely.
Of opinion.
Yeah,
that'll
absolutely.
Probably be one of the more controversial topics
that
we talk
about.
Yeah,
but I think it's worth, you know, kind of dredging up and at least, you know, confronting a little bit and just kind of having the dialogue about, you know, how do we protect pipe smoking and also, you know, respect other people that like other kinds of smoking? I don't know. I think there's something there that would be an interesting debate.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, I want to put that out there.
Real quickly.
What's going on?
What do you think Yoda put in his pipe?
Oh, I think he was growing his own tobacco there in Dagobah. You know,
you think the people in Colorado would agree with that?
Well, let me put it this way. So Dagobah, as you recall from Empire Strikes Back, very swamplands. I think he had a little bit of a perique farm.
Okay, that makes sense. I could go with that.
Yeah.
So you don't think he was smoking like Briar Fox or something?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they ship out the Dagobah.
Cornell and Deal doesn't have a distributor.
No, unfortunately.
On the Dagobah system.
Not in a galaxy far, far away.
Okay, fair enough.
Before we jump into the topic, what's going on in the Squire?
Man, we've actually got a few things going on. The Jackson Pipe Club is meeting this week on Thursday night at 6 o'clock. So if you're in the Jackson area, please come by, hang out. We're going to have, we kind of rotate every other month. One month we have kind of a social meeting. The next month we have kind of a, you know, sit down and get together and talk. And, you know, I hate to say business meeting,
business.
But, you know, there's a little more formality to it. So anyway, it's at the Squire, 6 o'clock Thursday night. Please come on out. So,
yeah, man.
Also, we got a huge shipment of Nirup pipes from our friend Petter Jeppesen in Denmark. And so Nirups are great. It's one of our best-selling brands. We love them and got those in. Also, Savinelli has reintroduced the natural finished pipes, which is awesome.
Yeah, I saw some
unfinished
of that on
pipes.
Facebook.
They, you know, they color as you smoke them and age them, and just fantastic quality. I mean, for the price point, you know, you can see fills and pits in there. But we've always loved those pipes, and so we got a dozen of those. And man, come pick through them.
Yeah, that's
find
awesome.
One. Yeah.
Hey, one last thing too. If you ever come to a Jackson Pipe Club event, or even just kind of thinking forward for when we're going to be in New Orleans. If you see us and you've never actually gotten a chance to talk to us in person or anything, come up, introduce yourself, let us know kind of off the bat that you're a listener to the show. Don't feel awkward about that or anything, because we love to hear that.
It's awesome.
And it also, you know, it also kind of calibrates the conversation pretty well, because somebody can come up and you're like, oh, wait, have we met before?
Right.
Because you know me so well, but I can't quite place your name.
That's right. That's
so
right.
So it puts us a little awkward place if we don't know that up front. So make sure that when you come up, be sure to introduce yourself and let us know that you listen to the show.
Man.
And because we'd love to get to know you guys in person.
I was thrilled that our listener, Micah Nicolaisen from Arizona, he actually emailed me the other day. This is one of the first folks that made their pike pilgrimage to the Squire,
right.
Actually. Drove up from New Orleans, as a matter of fact, 3 hours just to come see our pipe shop and hang out with us. It was pretty remarkable. But, man, he sent me a message the other day. He's going to be in New Orleans and looking forward to link up. And, man, that would thrill us. Nothing more would thrill us than to, you know, link up with a lot of you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'd be great.
All right, man. We got a great topic we're talking about tonight. We're talking about aging tobacco.
Aging tobacco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this is something that a lot of people, you know, whenever we do kind of Pipe 101 questions and kind of gather questions, the subject of aging comes up because a lot of people are familiar with the term, but not necessarily the process.
Yeah.
And what it means, what benefits. Is it something that I do as a smoker, or is it something specific to the, tobacco growers?
Like,
what is aging tobacco?
Yeah, well, I think there's a variety of things you can kind of point to there. But when you talk about, you know, curing tobacco and, you know, the processing of tobacco, there's one thing before the tobacco gets finally blended. And then there's another thing where, you know, when the tobacco is in the process of each individual leaf kind of preparing for the, you know, cutting and blending and all that. So once tobaccos are blended, you know, that's kind of where we're focusing on today, is you've got a blend, you just bought this tobacco that you're really interested in, and you want to put it back for a little while. A lot of folks refer to cellaring pipe tobacco. It's like, oh, this is what I've got in my cellar. I've got this, this, and this. And I've got friends. Matter of fact, our friend Crimson Rat has this exquisite spreadsheet of all the pounds of tobacco he's gotten in storage. And, you know, I try to keep a little running list of kind of how much I've got and where it is and that kind of thing. But, you know, my cellar consists of two of those kind of taupe-colored fabric box things that you get from Target to put in a square shelf. You know, that is my cellar. So it's not like I'm actually folding up some door in the bottom of my house and kind of walking downstairs in the humidified place and all this stuff. But tobacco cellars are great. There's a variety of things that you can cellar. And, you know, and again, this different people may kind of experience different results with this, but some tobaccos will take to that process a lot better than other tobaccos. You know, Virginias and Virginia Periques are really the ones that stand out. If you cellar, you know, put these tobaccos back for, you know, even just a few months, but even on up to several years, the edge that it takes off, something about how cellaring both melds the flavors together, but then also just kind of smooths out the little edge on it, is just really over the top. It's pretty fantastic. So there's all kinds of different ways to cellar tobaccos. You know, most people, you know, they might buy a new tin and then just put it back, not open the tin, kind of put it back. On a few tobaccos, it works great. And you know, with some companies, they actually already ship the tobaccos aged a little bit anyway,
right?
Which is fascinating. Like most McClellan tins, you see, actually, you know, typically when they come to our shop, are a couple years old, which is kind of interesting.
If you know you're going to age the tobacco after opening it, is there anything that you have to do to the tin?
Yeah. What the key thing for me is once you've opened it in the original canister, you want to get it into typically a mason jar, anything that's tightly sealed. And has, you know, a lot of folks have a good, like, hinge lock system or something. I brought a couple things I'll bring out.
Yeah, I was just thinking my cellar is kind of behind me here.
Yeah.
I should have busted it out.
Like, so this is a, you know, typical McClellan tin. It's got kind of the, you know, little aluminum lining on the outside and then has a, you know, it's a pop-top thing, kind of like you're opening a, you know, can of soup or something. And this is not a vacuum-sealed container. Like, when you open it, it's sealed, but it's not vacuum sealed. So there's still air inside this tobacco when it's closed. This cellars a lot better than tobaccos that are in these kind of coin disc things like this. I've got a tin of Mac Baron Navy Flake here that's a square tin. And then one of my many, many empty tins of Orlick Golden Slice that I have destroyed. Those tins typically are, well, they're always vacuum sealed. And what's interesting is the seal, the container needs a little oxygen in there to allow the air to circulate some during the aging process. So it's actually best when you're cellaring tobacco to, you know, if you have a tin like that, you probably actually want to take it out and put it in another container, which is fascinating. These tins like this, the good McClellan tins, and, you know, Cornell & Deal, GLP, many other brands, you know, they actually have tins that do include some air in them, and so that helps the process a little
bit. All right, so let me ask you this, though, because, I mean, with the Golden Slice and then also the Navy Flake, these are both, they're tin from top to bottom, whereas with the McClellan here, we've got more of a plastic seal on top of it.
Yeah. Now, the one thing about this, though, this tin is actually open, so you don't want to age a tin like this. Like, if I open this tin, you know, it's not going to continue to age really in this container. You want to, at that point, put it in a mason jar.
Okay.
So, but if all these tins are sealed, you know, if they're sealed up, you know, then the tins like this kind of canister, and for some reason I'm forgetting the name of this type of canister, this works well to age just by itself. Tins like that with the Orlick, Mac Baron, you've got, you know, Peterson and just a variety of other tobaccos, Dunhill, that are, you know, fantastic tobaccos, but those you typically want to take out. Another interesting thing about those is I have actually seen older tins, like with the coin disc tins, actually be opened up a couple years later, and they've actually rusted on the inside.
Is that right?
Which is kind of interesting. You're like, well, it's vacuum sealed, but a lot of times what happens is the seal is not very good on those.
Right.
And so my experience is it's good to open the tin up once you get it, if you're anticipating to age it in one of those containers. Open it up, put it in a real tight jar of some description, and then sealed up and put it back. And you know, that really helps a lot.
You know, you can get, you know, a whole crate of mason jars at your local shop.
Yeah.
Or you know, even at your you know, warehouse for your canning purposes.
Right.
Of
that's
any
exactly
kind.
Right. Yep.
And so, like, for example, I guess last year when we tried to put up a lot of tomatoes, we ended up having a lot of leftover mason jars.
Yeah.
And so I used them for I guess aging tobaccos. It was mostly just because I needed to, you know,
you need a place to dump them all.
Yeah. I needed to have my tobacco in, you know, readily available.
That's right.
But one of the things I did before the mason jars is I was using those Yankee candles. In fact, even on this show, I've talked about using the Yankee candles,
yeah,
specifically.
The jar. Yeah.
And one of the nice things about that is when you pop them down, the seal is so extremely tight.
Yeah.
Which is nice. Here's the problem that I ran into with the Yankee candles, and I'm kind of curious if this is kind of a problem that anybody else has run into. The Yankee candles is very difficult to get the scent of the candle
absolutely
out from the thing. And so, yeah, you know, we worked really hard. I actually thought I got it until I put up some tobacco. I can't remember what it was exactly. And I opened it up, and it was not supposed to smell like vanilla.
Like Midsummer's Evening. Or
yeah. I mean, like, it kind of like, oh, man. And I could not. It
smelled,
I mean,
like Palm Springs Delight or something.
For me, it kind of ruined that entire, you know,
yeah,
jar
absolutely
of tobacco.
Absolutely.
And yeah, so, you know, so when you're kind of considering moving the tobacco to a second location, so
yeah,
to speak, in order to
use something clean if you
yeah
can. Yeah. Use something that is really easy to, you know, to clean out. I've had friends, and, you know, you're not alone in folks that have actually used things like that. You just got, you know, containers sitting around the house. Mason jars are just so great because they are easy to clean out, scoop out all the stuff, and, you know, you can put them in the dishwasher, which is awesome.
Right.
You can boil them. I mean, all these different things are just so convenient. So I think that's a good thing to stick with. A couple things I brought, which I'll show you.
Yeah, yeah.
These you've obviously got these kind of squat looking mason jars,
yeah,
which probably hold about, you know, 4 ounces or something. You know, in that, actually, this jar would probably hold a couple ounces, and really, you know, and you've got a regular size kind of mason jar that you may use for, like, just drinking iced tea out of or something. The good thing about these is they hold a, you know, decent bit of tobacco. You can seal them up real tight, and the idea is you don't want to put your tobacco in there and just cram it as hard as it'll go.
Right.
You want to leave some room for the air, you know, because when you seal it, that air's got to circulate a little bit, which is kind of interesting.
Give me a percentage here if I'm looking to pack up a
mason
jar.
Yeah, if you're looking to pack that up, you probably want to do, you know, 2/3 to 3/4 of the tobacco in, you know, in that space in the jar.
Right.
You know, so leave some in there. If you want it really, really tight, what a lot of folks do, and this is kind of fun, you can actually, there's a couple ways you can actually make the mason jar lid pop so that it's still got air in there, but it's sealed up, kind of like you would with canning. Now, the canning process where you're boiling the you know, vegetables in the, you know, mason jar in the water and
right
then doing this, that's a little too harsh on your tobacco. So what a lot of people do, it's kind of interesting, they will fill like a basin up or something with really hot water and put the you know, the jar, open jar of tobacco in this hot water for, you know, maybe 20 minutes or something. And once you take it out, the jar is so hot, you slap that seal on there real quick.
Pops.
And what happens is, you know, let's think of, you know, quick physics lesson, like you've got hot air, hot things expand, and you've got a jar that's full of hot air. Well, as the air contracts, as it gets cooler, because cooler things kind of, you know, come together, then what you've got there is a, you know, the air in there gets less volume, and it eventually, once it cools down to a certain point, the lid seals.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, you can hear it, you know, go pop. It's kind of interesting. Some people, which is fascinating, actually put their mason jar without the lid on it in the microwave. And microwave it, nuke it for about 20 seconds.
Without the tobacco in it.
With the tobacco in it.
Really?
Which is kind of interesting. And, you know, results vary.
Uh-huh.
depends on, you know, kind of what blend you've done it with and that kind of thing. I've done that a little bit with Pilgrim's Muse at the shop, and it seems to work pretty well. I think some blends, you know, you probably steer clear from, but Yeah,
I'm not trying that one.
Yeah, you actually put it in there, and then once you take it out, immediately put that lid on there, and it seals up real tight. So if you're not as concerned, like, that's a good, you know, thing to do if you're going to put tobacco back for, you know, let's say a decade or something, or, I mean, any amount of time. But, you know, if you really want a tight seal, that's one thing. Other things that you might think about are hinge lock jars, and I brought one with me today. This is full of Orlick Golden Slice.
Ooh.
This is, of course, if you're a longtime listener, you'll know I went to Mississippi State. Mississippi State is, you know, has engineering and architecture and, you know, well, I studied history and a plethora of things, but they're kind of known for making homemade cheese at the university.
Oh, yes.
And so it's kind
of
the
only thing that comes good out of state.
It's kind of, right. Other than John David, it's just part of it. But yeah, they, you know, they have a you know, dairy program at the university where they teach, you know, students that are interested in that kind of thing to, you know, make and process cheese, but they sell it from the university. This is a jar that a friend gave me that actually used to contain like a cheese spread.
Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. It's got a hinge lock on the top of it. This real kind of industrial looking thing. Looks kind of like it came out of a, you know, Cracker Barrel or something. But you open it up, it's got this real nice rubber seal on it. Oh, and look, the, you know, Orlick Golden Slice thing with the little judge dude inside with that says smoked by all shrewd judges fits perfectly in there with my 3.5 ounce tin of Orlick. So this is good because, you know, it's something that allows it to age, but, you know, also if you just want to access it, you know, occasionally or something like that, you know, it's, you're not locked in kind of like you are with a mason jar. So
this is so cool.
Isn't
man.
That fantastic? Yeah.
Look at that.
And it's kind of a vintage thing like that. It's looks like something you might pick up at a flea market or something, but
just ignore that state logo.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Exactly.
I'll
so
put that in a place of prominence.
They're, yeah, they're pretty cool. Anything like that. If you go to your local like hobby store, like a Hobby Lobby or, you know, something like that, they've actually got, you know, lots and lots of jars where people do for crafts and stuff that, you know, have a hinge lock on it that makes it really tight. So,
so cool.
That's kind of nice, you know, if you're, you know, going forward and you don't want to fool with the mason jar route, and it's a little more easily accessible. With something like that, you know, you're not going to put that necessarily back for, you know, 35 years, but
right.
You know, of course, at some point, most tobaccos, you know, with that much age on them, it's a little too much. But
man, I'm gonna get me some of these. This is pretty sweet.
Isn't that sweet?
You know,
yeah.
And also, just kind of to paint a picture in the mind of the listener, aside from the state symbol on this thing, if you kind of reminds me a
Good
little
dog.
Bit of you remember Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah,
he always had the honey jars.
Yeah, it's like his honey tub.
It looks like one of his honey jars, except with kind of a latch on top of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah,
that's so cool.
It's pretty great.
I want one.
You know, find you something like that, and that works well too. You know, and we talk about aging. We're sitting here throwing around this word and kind of some strategies on how to do it. But you know, the point of aging tobacco is to take some of that edge off and make it a little more sweeter and flavorful. And that, you know, again, that works better with some tobaccos than it does others. With my experience and with most people's experience, Virginia Perique's, those are the ones that really benefit most from aging because they're taking that natural kind of bite off the edge of it. It also, for some reason, makes it sweeter. Our friend Ed Dupree, who lives here in Jackson, you know, came by, had a tin of Christmas Cheer from McClellan from probably 8 or 9 years ago, popped it open, and man, it was just so, so naturally sweet. It was incredible. It almost like, you know, turned into like a Cavendish or something. It was just really interesting. You know, other blends can do that as well. You've got Latakias, which mellow over time, and that can be a good thing or a bad thing. You know, if you put a Latakia back in a really, really bold English blend, like, you know, let's say Bowser's Castle that we sell at the Country Squire, you know, the point of Bowser's Castle is that it's got that real heavy hit of Latakia with the Orientals and stuff in there. And over time, that's going to mellow out. And so that might not be, you know, the tobacco you want to do that with. With other English blends that maybe have a, you know, higher Virginia content or maybe some Balkan blends that, you know, have some different leaves in them, you know, the aging process may benefit more. My personal experience is with aromatic tobaccos, there's not a whole lot of benefit to it.
Really?
Because
they already got the flavor in them?
They kind of already have the flavor in them. And actually, some people have determined that, you know, more aromatic tobaccos, you know, actually get worse with age. And so
they impart their flavor to probably the jar more than, itself.
It's interesting. You know, and again, you've got folks that have varying points of view on that. But that's kind of my personal experience. One anecdote or little story I'll share with our friends that, you know, just about putting tobaccos back and aging them. One of our loyal listeners and friends actually got a hold of Revelation pipe tobacco, which is what Einstein smoked.
Really?
All right. So one of his buddies on the internet, he actually got a hold of an unopened can of this stuff from Princeton, New Jersey, which means it was probably procured at his pipe shop for Einstein.
What?
Because that's, you know, obviously where Einstein spent his last years of his life. And so he gets this revelation. You know, they hadn't made this tobacco in over 50 years, you know. He gets this revelation, brings it to the shop, and, you know, him and some other buddies on the internet kind of split it up, and they pass it around. And so he comes in with this jar. We're all excited. We wait till the shop closes at 6 o'clock p.m., and, you know, we're all sitting around. We're like, okay, let's load up our pipes and light all our matches together. So we light the pipe up, and everyone's kind of stoking it up and, you know, getting it lit and tamped, and we're kind of looking at each other, and, you know, there's kind of that thing of, like, you can tell something's a little amiss, and then, you know, everyone is thinking, like, okay, who's going to be the first to say that this sucks? And it was one of those things, like, I think I was the one that finally kind of came out and said, yeah, it's kind of biting my tongue a little bit.
Right.
And then someone said, yeah, it tastes like the inside of a tin can. I think someone else said it tastes like aluminum. But, man, it was so funny. You know, whatever canister that tobacco sat in for 60 years.
Man.
It tasted like, if you could imagine what the inside of, like, a coffee can, you know, one of those old-fashioned metal coffee cans tastes like. I think it was probably in something like that. And, man, it smelled good in the jar, but man, tasted foul. So, I mean, that just shows you the importance of what, by the way, we still have that tobacco at the shop, and, you know, you can see it and smell it. It smells like honey in the jar. It's kind of interesting.
Oh.
But, you know, they, yeah, don't smoke it, though. I don't recommend that at all. But, you know, it shows you the importance of what you're aging it in and just, you know, taking care of it like that.
That's so great,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, pretty funny. Yep. Also, you know, one other thing to remember, if you are going to age some tobaccos, don't leave it in extreme heat. Don't leave it in extreme cold. You don't necessarily, well, really at all, have to keep it in any kind of humidifier or something. A lot of folks just, you know, have a big cardboard box that they're cellaring their tobaccos in. That works great. But, you know, keep it in something, you know, in a place where you're comfortable temperature-wise, something inside your house, that's where your tobacco will be most comfortable too.
One thing I like to see too is you see just kind of on different Facebook groups and message boards and even over on Reddit, people will take pictures of kind of their tobaccos that they've kind of put up.
Yeah.
And so if you're aging some tobaccos now, you got a pretty sweet setup. Take a picture, put it, send it to us, and we'll put this up on the Facebook page.
Absolutely,
and you can showcase your collection.
Yeah, I'd love that. We love to see listeners' collections and sellers. One of our friends as well, Ricky Walker, he recently took a photo and put it somewhere in one of our groups, and I mean, he had pounds and pounds of tobacco, and, you know, it was just getting all kinds of stuff, you know, from other people, like, oh, that's great. I guess your kids, you know, can't eat and all this kind of stuff. Because actually the tobacco cellar was a pantry, which is kind of interesting. But,
well, there you go.
A couple notes from some of our listeners.
Yeah,
Ray Breyerfan, at Breyerfan on Twitter says he would suggest a wide mouth mason jar because it's easier to dip a pipe into the jar, he says, if you're like me and have fat hands. But he's absolutely right. If you're going to use mason jars, use a wide mouth mason jar.
That's smart.
Any kind of container. Even if you're reaching in there to get the tobacco out, a smaller mouth mason jar just isn't very good. So, and also Pappy Joe says, I've found that some aromatics have improved over a few months in a mason jar. It can mellow out and dry out some. So that's a good point.
And we always love getting that kind of active feedback. You know, we probably should mention at the top of every show.
But, yeah.
For our listeners who are tuning in live, you're actually able to tweet us at Squire Radio on Twitter.
That's right.
And throughout the show, we like to you know, throw these little tidbits out that you guys throw to us.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week this week is brought to us by the New Orleans Pipe Show. If you head over to nolapipeshow.com right now, you can sign up, and you're going to want to sign up. That's nolapipeshow.com. There's some great carvers that have been announced. I think Rad Davis, Wayne Tapin, Walt Kenoy.
Yeah.
Am I pronouncing Kenoy right?
I don't know, but it's Wayne Tapin.
Oh, well, I mispronounced that one, then.
Yeah.
Sorry, Wayne. Well, but the great thing is we can apologize to you in person. Because,
that's right. That's
right. We will be there, and we're looking forward to it. Again, nolapipeshow.com is where you need to go to register.
Yep.
All right. So we get this in from T. Lynn, who writes, he says, I need some advice, gents. I placed up a real nice Rattery Silver Band Bulldog. I'm not a beginner, more like a journeyman. This is the nicest pipe I'll ever own, and I want to break her in right. Any advice on the process? Cheers.
Yeah, I was actually chuckling because he said ratteries. I think he meant rattrays, and I was gonna just mention that.
Okay.
So, but anyway, man, congrats! Beautiful pipe. Rattray
awesome.
Is really old school brand. I mean, great tobaccos. Like just really. I've had a couple older tobacconists, you know, in the trade say some of those Rattray's blends from the late 60s, early 70s, that was the pinnacle of tobacco for them. So, and they make some beautiful pipes too. Okay, interestingly enough, you know, you've got this Rattray's Bulldog, you're really proud of it. I wouldn't say that it's the nicest pipe you'll ever own. Because if you like it, you might get addicted to this kind of thing.
Mm.
But, you know, it really depends on the type of tobacco you're smoking in it. You're breaking it in. You want to take good care of it. You know, I'd be interested to know if it was pre-carbonated or not. A lot of folks will take just the smallest amount of honey on their finger and actually just smear the inside of the bowl with it. You know, that's interesting. A lot of folks would think, oh, you only do that for aromatic tobaccos. But it actually can help with other blends. It really can. You know, so just think about that. If you do it, just the smallest amount, what you're trying to do there is give that carbon something to stick onto. Really, you only want to do that if it's a natural finished bowl that doesn't have a pre-carb on it. But anyway, you might try that. If you're smoking Virginia tobaccos, Virginias are so clean that you're just not going to be able to build much cake. At least certainly quickly. So, you know, a lot of folks will even, you know, to some extent put a couple bowls of aromatic tobacco through it. But if you're building some, you know, if you're smoking Virginias, just, you know, take it easy with it. Go slowly. You know, those first several bowls, fill it up halfway. Smoke it all the way to the bottom to try to build that even layer of cake in there. You know, English blends, same kind of thing. You know, anything with Latakia, Balkan blends. You know, really anything non-aromatic, you know, you're just going to kind of take your time slowly, you know, try to break your pipe in, and it'll start to taste better over time is actually what will happen. And with the honey trick, by the way, that the taste of the honey, you know, it's going to dissipate,
yeah.
You know, after a few bowls. So I wouldn't worry about that. With aromatic tobaccos, they've got so much casing in them typically, you know, that they're going to build a nice cake kind of on their own. Actually, with aromatic tobaccos, if you smoke your pipe regularly, you're going to be more concerned about, you know, kind of reaming your pipe, kind of taking some of the cake down. Because if you have too much cake, your bowl can bust open, which is kind of interesting. So we can talk about that some other time. But anyway, go slow. First, you know, 5 to 10 bowls, whatever you kind of, you know, think is appropriate. Fill it up halfway, smoke it all the way to the bottom, even through that nasty little ash at the bottom. Just try to get it down. You're trying to build a little cake and season your pipe like that cast iron skillet, and it'll reward you.
And I would also recommend checking out a recent episode we did called Breaking Briar, Best
yeah.
Practices for Breaking in Your Pipe. And you can just kind of find that on iTunes or over at our archive at countrysquireradio.com. And we spent a whole episode kind of diving into it as well.
Yep.
Great question, T-Len. Really appreciate that. And of course, if you got a pipe question of the week, you can send it in, csr@podastery.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
All right, man. So I have got some quick fire questions for you, sir.
Let's do it, baby.
All right. Ultimate Frisbee or Frisbee Golf?
Probably Frisbee Golf because I don't have to move as much.
Wow. Wow. All right, fair enough. I think for me, definitely Ultimate Frisbee because it always works better for me when the location I'm trying to throw the Frisbee to is a moving target and can move to where the Frisbee goes. As opposed to me throwing directly to that person.
That's fair enough. See that, but that's assuming that you want to be good at the frisbee sport, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think
which is fair.
It comes down. You want to be lazy, and I want somebody to try
to
make me look
good. I can put my beer down and throw the disc, and then pick it back up and walk to the next hole with frisbee golf.
Have you done the disc golf thing that's out this way?
It's over by Mays Lake. I've done it one time.
How's that?
It was all right. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of trees in the way and stuff, so you kind of have to navigate some interesting terrain, but yeah, it's fun.
There's a dinosaur over there right now, too.
I don't know if there is. Yeah. That's right, the Natural Science Museum.
See it every single time we drive by.
Yep.
All right, next one. Reuben or club, specifically in the sandwich category?
Yeah, that's difficult. I probably have to go with club because, like everyone else in this part of the country, I love honey mustard.
Yeah, that's good.
And so honey mustard, you know, typically if I go to Sweet Peppers or McAllister's around here, they're going to put honey mustard on their club sandwich, which is great. Reuben's are good too, though.
So see, I used to be a club guy.
Yeah.
And I love club sandwiches, but I was told by a friend probably a couple of years ago, we were out getting lunch together and he ordered a Reuben, which I'd never had before.
Yeah.
And he gave me the best advice that I think anybody can ever give someone.
Okay.
In terms of sandwich knowledge.
Okay.
He said, every single time I go to a new restaurant, I just, without even looking at the menu, I always order the Reuben. Because the quality of the Reuben sandwich will determine the overall quality of the restaurant.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, wow. So that shifted me. Because club is always consistently the same, pretty much no matter where you go. The Reuben, different from restaurant to restaurant.
Isn't that interesting? So you kind of, it's almost like the, you know, trial period for the restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I'm more of a Reuben guy these days.
Okay.
And then also, are you more inclined to birdwatch a cardinal or a bluebird?
In Mississippi, I have to go with the bluebird. Because there are hardly any bluebirds in this state.
Really?
If you find a bluebird in Mississippi, it's almost like finding a unicorn. we've got blue jays, which are, you know, pretty, you know, you see those quite a bit.
That's true.
But if you find a true bluebird in Mississippi, it's going to be difficult. So anyway, I'd be apt to say bluebird. Also, we'll say the John James Audubon Zoo is in New Orleans. Of course, John James Audubon was a prolific bird photographer and painter and watcher. And so anyway, for the pipe show, if that's kind of one of your things, you might check that out in New Orleans this fall.
Yeah, that's great. Now, I think probably for me, I'm a cardinal guy just because that bright red, you know, you look outside and you see all these colors, right? You see green and you see blue and just kind of the natural colors that are there.
Yeah.
But when that cardinal flies by and lands, it's just so bright. I don't know. It just adds kind of something into like your overall eye palette.
Yeah. That's fair.
Got a little artsy there for you. So that's what I've got today. Actually, you know, I put the bird question in because I just recently got a bird feeder and put it outside the studio.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, because there's birds that fly by all the time, but I think they have yet to actually notice I've got this beautiful feeder with all this good seed, like right there. So I just need them to notice it and hang out right outside the window. As long as they don't make too much noise, that'd be great. All right, well, that's quickfire questions this week. If you've got some quickfire questions, send them in, csr@podastery.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, first one comes in from iTunes from Chris Demolian, who says, short story, I love this podcast. The blend of humility, knowledge, thoughtfulness, and passion for the hobby I have won me over completely. And as I burn through the archives, it has been a welcome and treasured companion to my drive. I no longer dread my morning and evening commute because I know I'll spend it with Bo and John David. Thanks for the great podcast, brothers. Keep up the great work. Man, that's great. And his title for that was A Pipe Community Treasure.
That's pretty awesome.
The
next one's from iTunes, DBEH S-Man. And he says, this is a fun podcast. I highly recommend it. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
That's great. And then also, great show from Cedar Graphics on iTunes. He says, I'm new to listening to the show and really enjoy the pipe talk and side topics. Keep up the great work, guys. Thanks for writing in, y'all. That helps us a lot.
Yeah.
And it's encouraging.
Absolutely. And, you know, we really always love hearing from you guys. It's a great way also to kind of help the podcast get, you know, kind of some recognition. And it's important, especially, you know, we talked at the top of the show about what's going on with Disney.
Yeah.
You know, having media that kind of involves pipes, pipe tobacco, that sort of thing, that, you know, that's can be a tough thing to put out there. And you know, with a company like Disney, I mean, they're the private company, they can do what they want to with the content they own. But I think it's all the more important for if you like this kind of content, if you enjoy it, to kind of, you know, put your emphasis on it, right? Vote with your money, vote with your time, vote with your ears. So if you're enjoying this, make sure you keep on tuning in, downloading the show, telling your friends and pipe clubs about it. Make sure that you're heading over to iTunes, writing us reviews, and things like supporting the show, like through Audible or any other way. We greatly appreciate it, and it does help support the idea of pipes and pipe tobacco in media. That's a mini soapbox. I'm going to get on a much bigger one when we talk about the dichotomy of Disney, I think is what I'm going to call in the next episode.
That's fair enough. The dichotomy of Disney. I like that. That's good.
Yeah, yeah. I had to Google search it to make sure that dichotomy is the right word.
That's good.
That's how we roll. Well, of course, we want to wish everybody a happy St. Patrick's Day.
We do.
We want to thank everybody who's tuning in live. Of course, you can tune in live every single Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. That's 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern. You can also contact us and engage with us. Of course, you can email the show, csr@podastery.com. You can find us on Twitter, @SquireRadio. I'm @TheRealBoYork.
I'm @JohnDavidCole. And you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
Of course, all this information, contact, and otherwise can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Well, man, you've got your kilt. I've got my beads. We're ready to kind of go out there and represent St. Patrick's Day for the what little Irish is actually in our heritage.
Fair enough. Yep, I know it. We'll just hide our Englishness kind of under the table today.
As best we can.
I can't believe I even admitted to it. You can cut that out, right?
No. It's going in.
Fair enough.
Let's go have a day.
See you, brother.
Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear Figs. Because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts, and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your Figs? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room, listening to this podcast? Wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.